Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Past the hour, and here we go. We're off on this bubble off, on this 20th day of August 2015. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to hop into the chat room. Folks filtering in even as we speak for this Thorn in the Side Thursday broadcast. Yes, indeed. Good evening to Texas D and Jug of Punch, of course, capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky. Yeah, we're in session. Sorry about last night. It was unavoidable. And, I don't leave the mic unless it is unavoidable. It's just that simple. And, let's see here. Thanks go out because, you know, we run this on the kindness of the members of the Horn Family Commune Congregation. And I want to thank Kathy, Donald, Darla, and Bernice for their subscription support overnight. As a result of that, our fundraising goal for the evening is, let's see, it's like, oh God, $400. And in point of fact, thanks to Chris in Germany, we have a $50 challenge on the table to get things started. The first $50 that come in will be doubled by Chris in Germany. And thank you, Chris, very kindly for that. That's most helpful. I mean, we had a tough fundraising night Tuesday. Actually, I think we're more like $550. If you count last night and what didn't happen on Tuesday and now tonight, yeah, $550. Ouch. Yeah. But if you want to help keep things going, keep the broadcast on the air. Sorry, if for those of you who have seen the John Oliver, Our Lady of Perpetual Exemption piece, I don't have any little cloth prayer mountains to send or send you a dollar and tell you to turn around and send it right back, you know, with your own stamp. Oh, that was beautiful. It's just a matter of the fact that, well, you'll be helping to keep this going. And hopefully the hole won't get too terribly much deeper. If you want to help, the contribute tab is at headonradionetwork.com. And that's the PayPal interface. And another, as ever, the reminder, those fields that seem rather intrusive about what you do in your job at Spacely Space Rockets or Cogswell Cogs, and whether you work for Mr. Spacely or Mr. Cogswell, you can ignore those. Those are not mandatory. I don't want to know it. Nobody at the Horn wants to know it. And that was PayPal's interface. Just yuck. So you can leave it blank. Just get to the next screen. For those of you who prefer to participate by way of the United States Postal Service, well, the address for checks and money orders made payable to the Horn, not to Bob Kincaid, is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, TMB 318, Beckley, BECKLEY, WV 25801. Okay? And a little word on the equipment fund. We're kind of hanging out around the $800 level, and not much has happened over the last couple of days. Hopefully something will happen, and we'll get that finished out and get the equipment ordered. Crossing fingers. So it is Thorn in the Side Thursday, and we've got a veritable briar patch to deal with this evening. Let's see. Now, where to begin? Well, I have some fun stuff. Well, not fun, but funny. I mean, who can't participate in the great big giant ball of Schadenfreude that is the unfolding Ashley Madison hacker scandal, at least where it touches upon that paragon of Christian virtue, and not to mention incestuous sex abuser, Josh Duggar. We got that. We can talk about that. You can call in and we'll talk about it, whatever. We got, there's plenty along those lines. But there's something else. And it's gravely more serious, and a couple of different stories that sort of have an air about them of, well, we've been to this movie before, and this is how it begins. People attuned to history may know that the word fascist is derived from the Latin word for a bundle of rods with an axe in the middle, that was carried by the bodyguards of the political office holders. They were called lictors, L-I-C-T-O-R-S, in the Roman Republic. They were used as a symbol of power, and the bundle of rods and the axe could actually be used to beat people away from the person the bodyguards were protecting. That evolves in the 20th century into the word fascist, because, among other things, in places where it first developed, you know, Italy, there were goon squads of fascist enforcers who would go about and they would beat the daylights out of their political enemies, opponents, people they disagreed with, in order to make Italy safe for brutal authoritarian dictatorship. Well, up in Boston, a man a couple of brothers were traveling on the mass transit line. Scott Leader and Steve Leader, brothers. And they came across a person who was apparently, I don't know, homeless, street person. Person was asleep. And when he woke up, the Leader brothers, Scott Leader and Steve Leader, were urinating all over the man, and they were rifling his belongings. According to the police report, next thing, he was getting hit in the face and head. He remembers being punched several times and hit with a metal pole. The brothers laughed as they walked away. The victim is in fair condition after being taken to Boston Medical Center. The Leader brothers broke his nose and left him bruised all over his head and his torso. Once the Leader brothers were arrested, they urinated on the cell door at the jail and threatened law enforcement staff. Asked about his crime, 38-year-old Scott Leader said, "Donald Trump was right. All these illegals need to be deported," and went on to explain that he thought it was acceptable to go to assault homeless people who were Hispanic. They have, of course, entered a not guilty plea to assault and battery with a dangerous weapon, assault and battery to intimidate with bodily injury, open and gross lewdness, indecent exposure, disorderly conduct, disturbing the peace, and threatening to commit a crime. Now, since the Leader brothers referenced Donald Trump felt compelled to address the situation. Said it was a shame. "I will say that people who are following me are very passionate. They love this country, and they want this country to be great again. They are passionate." Really? He really said that? It's a real quote from the real Donald Trump. "They are very passionate." Because that's what you do when you're passionate and you want America to be great again. You go out and you stomp the bejesus out of a homeless Hispanic man and urinate all over him. Because America, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Right? They're being held without bail until they have a September 3rd dangerousness hearing. Really? We've got to have a hearing for that. Oh, well, dip me in gravy and call me biscuit. Dangerousness hearing. But I mention that because it's that kind of conduct with a specified class, if you will, of victims, in this case, Hispanics, that leads down the dark and bloody slope toward social collapse and toward the ugliness that is fascism. And by the way, if you ever want to compare photos, compare photos of Benito Mussolini and Donald Trump. Absent that thing on his head, Trump often displays that cross-armed, down-scowling, downturned mouth, self-satisfied, I don't know, is it a smirk? But they look very similar. So there's that. And, of course, the centerpiece. Now, Trump has, and listen, I will not be surprised a nickel's worth if he winds up the GOP nominee. Yeah, I will not be surprised in the least. Because he's kind of the perfect candidate for them. He's a misogynist. He's a racist. He's a bigot. He's simply rolled up in prejudice. He uses the vocabulary of a fourth grader. What's for the Republicans not to love? And that is a terrifying road to be on, and we're on it, and we're running at highway speeds. Not kidding. Further proof of that being the following. There's a white wing radio broadcaster in Iowa by the name of Jan Michelson. And Jan is apparently somewhat politically powerful out there in conservative circles, right-wing circles, fascist circles. And since Trump's centerpiece issue is apparently immigration, you know, with those Mexican rapists he's so fond of talking about, well, it's got a lot of other people talking about immigration. I believe we talked on Tuesday evening about the fact that there's some of this talk that's beginning to sound decidedly like concentration camps. Well, Jan Michelson is a big thinker. Michelson, I'm sorry. He's a big thinker. He has big ideas. Let's check in, shall we? And thanks to Shorty in L.A. For alerting me to this story.
Work. And I was asked by an immigration open borders activist a couple of weeks ago how I would get all of the illegals here in the state of Iowa to leave. So you're going to call the police every time you find an illegal, or you're going to round them up and put them in detention centers? I said, no, you don't have to do any of that stuff. Well, you're going to invite them to leave the country and leave Iowa? I said, well, sort of. Well, how are you going to do it, Michelson? You think you're so smart. How would you get thousands of illegals to leave Iowa? Well, I said, well, if I wanted to do that, I'd just put up some signs. Well, what would the sign say? I said, well, I'd put them on the end of the highway on western part of the interstate system, and I put them on the eastern side of the state, right there in the interstate system, and then the north on the Minnesota border, and on the south.
By the way, did I issue the hockey puck warning? If I didn't, you've been warned.
Kansas in a Missouri border, and I would just say this. As of this date, whatever it's, we decide to do this, as of this date, 30, maybe this is a totally arbitrary number, 30 to 60 days from now, anyone who is in the state of Iowa that is not here legally and cannot demonstrate their legal status to the satisfaction of the local and state authorities here in the state of Iowa, become property of the state of Iowa.
Are you shrieking? Are you screaming? He's not kidding. This is not a joke. This is not some satire piece. This is not Jonathan Swift's A Modest Proposal. He means this. He thinks that people who are immigrants, who are undocumented, should be converted to slaves. Really?
So if you are here without our permission, and we've given you 2 months to leave, and you're still here, and we find that you're still here after we've given you the deadline to leave, then you become the property of the state of Iowa. And we have a job for you. And we start using compelled labor, the people who are here illegally. would therefore be owned by the state and become an asset of the state rather than a liability, and we start inventing jobs for them to do. Well, how would you apply that logic to what Donald Trump is trying to do, to get Mexico pay for the border?
Hold on here. So he wants to enslave the undocumented immigrant population, and then he wants to give them made-up jobs. I got an idea. Let's have a new CCC and a new WPA, and let's put all of America to work again. Huh? Without the slavery part. Oh, and by the way, the jobs that these undocumented immigrants are doing, you're not going to get a lot of folks to do those jobs. I mean, I remember to this day the story of that, and it was a horrific story, of from back during the reign of error of Dim Leader, when Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, raided a kosher meat packing plant in Iowa. And just about everybody working there was an undocumented immigrant. Because there just aren't that many white folks, or even black folks, who are American citizens, lining up to do those jobs. But by God, they sure could hire them some undocumented immigrants and pay them way, way less than anything you and I would recognize as minimum wage, and sort of let workers' comp coverage flap in the breeze, and, you know, unemployment and disability and all of that stuff. Nah, not so much. The undocumented immigrants in this country already have slave wage jobs. This misanthrope, this monster, however, this Jan Michelson, well, he wants to, what? How would you do this? You'd have to, you would have to rescind, overturn the 13th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. And would you replace it with something saying everybody, there shall be no slavery in the United States for anyone but undocumented immigrants? Is that it? I mean, this is what passes for deep thinking in the white wing in the United States of America. This is where the rump party that is the GOP, comprised and controlled primarily by the teabaggers and the birchers and the birthers and the deathers and the ninthers and the tenthers and the baggers and the booger eaters, the libertarians, this is where they want to go. That whole make America great again thing, this is their vision of the greatness of America. And it pretty near gives me the fantods.
And for the wall, same way. We say, hey, we're not going to make Mexico pay for the wall. We're going to invite, though, illegal Mexicans and illegal aliens to build it. If you have come across the border illegally, we get then give them another 60-day guideline. You need to go home and leave this jurisdiction. And if you don't, you become property of the United States. And guess what? You will be building a wall.
Man, you'll have some great labor standards there, won't you? That's going to be one well-built wall. Well, if they try to slack on the job or they malinger, we can always just whip them to death. Give them a taste of the lash. Am I overreacting? Am I the only one that gets cold chills at the realization that we can talk, that we have people in this country openly talking this stuff seriously? They're not joking. They're not trying to make a point. They're not laughing. People in this country who actually, no kidding, want to reinstitute the ancient and hateful and pernicious practice of human bondage. And I'm not talking about the human bondage that, like, Josh Duggar probably enjoys. No. There's not going to be any velvet lining on these handcuffs. This is real. And I'll be curious to see how many people denounce this, or are even asked to denounce this. I wonder if Donald Trump will say, hey, he's very passionate, and he only wants to enslave undocumented immigrants because he wants to make America great again. Still no answer on when America was great. Wrap it up, Jan Michelson.
We will compel your labor. You would belong to these United States. You show up without an invitation, you get to be an asset. You get to be a construction worker. Cool.
And thanks to our friends at Media Matters for America for grabbing that clip. And I'm not trying to engage in some sort of hyperbole when I say that gives me the chills, that frightens the daylights out of me. Emails rolling in on this. Ron in Raleigh says, Andy keeps rising in the polls relative regarding Trump. How many black folks would vote for this asshole? Once again, white folks are going to be the death of us all. Kind of hard to disagree. Robert in Australia has a question. So what happens when Mexico enacts the same or a similar law for U.S. citizens? You overstay, you break a law, whatever. You, the U.S. citizen, become property of the Mexican government. Well, see, that would be wrong. Because it's wrong to enslave Americans. We'd only enslave undocumented Hispanics because they need it. They need to be assets. Yeah. Ron and Raleigh also noting, it's already legal, sad to say. The 13th Amendment has a slavery exemption for prisoners. That's true. Prison labor is a thing acknowledged in the 13th Amendment. But then you get all tied up with things like due process and substantive due process and procedural due process, equal protection. The 13th Amendment reads, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as a punishment for crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just the frame of mind I'm in. But this country is going to become terrifying even more than it already is between now and November 2016. And depending on the outcome there, it may become an absolute horror show. Marty asks, what about those American citizens who, like me, are going to be trying to leave? And Marty also notes, by the way, there are black people in this country, mostly Christians, who would happily support the return of slavery just so long as they're not, you know, the ones being enslaved. News Ninja Gene says, oh, great. Have the government own the slaves, and the people that use the slaves get plausible deniability for them. F that. Yeah, and see, but then, and you, I mean, you don't think that, let's just unravel this thread a little further. I'm sure the make-work projects that the slaves would work on wouldn't all be a matter of rebuilding our crumbling infrastructure or building the wall. Look. Is it tilapia? Was it tilapia that they're selling at Whole Foods that comes from prison labor in Colorado? Yeah. Yeah, it is. And that sure does benefit Whole Foods now, doesn't it? Brother Deacon Asa says, and by the way, thanks to Asa for chipping in, even though I wasn't here for prayer meeting Wednesday. His proposal to bring back slavery would at least give the Oath Keepers something to do, Brother Bob. Yeah, because that's what we need. We gotta find something for the Oath Keepers to do. Oh dear. Yeah. And thanks very kindly, both Randy and our buddy Thomas jumped in to meet Chris's Thorn in the Side Thursday challenge. That's wonderful. That means we've gotten the and I neglected to count Brother Deacon Ace's tithe from last night. So that takes us down to $360 to go. Thank you very much. That's a huge help. Now, let's see. What else? Well, we've got the rise of a decidedly nasty brand of fascism in this country. And isn't it interesting? I mean, we had no problems a few generations back. We had no problem identifying fascism because they spoke a different language and dressed differently. Yeah. But it was said that when fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a Bible or a cross. I forget exactly how that was phrased. But it's accurate. And I don't know if we can recognize it in ourselves. It appears that a lot of us cannot or will not. There are, I believe, mixed issues of both ignorance and willful blindness. There's got to be something. There is something morally, ethically wrong with people who support these policies as put forward by people like Trump. I wonder if he saw the same story I did a couple of days ago. I had it in the stack for prayer meeting Wednesday, but of course we didn't have one of those. You know, Trump is all in a dither over all the supposed Mexican rests. Well, it turns out it's not necessarily the Mexican. He should have thought further south. Ecuadorian. But of course, the particular story probably fit well with Trump. And it was perpetrated by an Ecuadorian. It was perpetrated by an Ecuadorian against a 15-year-old boy. And I just gave it away, didn't I? I said I had it in the stacks for prayer meeting Wednesday. Yes. Reverend Father Manuel Gallo Espinoza. Raped 15-year-old, at the time, Max Rojas Ramirez. In the bedroom of the rectory. Yeah. The young man had gone to confession. And he confessed to his priest that he had confusion about his sexuality. He thought that confusion stemmed from the fact that he was molested by a male cousin when he was 8 years old. Mr. Ramirez said, looking for God. And trying to figure out all these things. And eventually I came to tell him about the attraction I had toward guys. So a short time after, Father Espinoza got in touch with a man and told him to come and speak to him personally. When he obeyed the priest refused to take him home and insisted that he spend the night at the rectory. Late night, Max Ramirez, he woke and felt something very heavy on top of him. He said, it hurt. I was in pain. I popped open, and he had his whole body on top of me. He started touching me, and I was shaking. Move. I couldn't talk. Then Father Espinoza said, don't worry. This is what God wants. Really? Yes. Max Ramirez is suing the Archdiocese of Newark, New Jersey, because he really can't get at Father Espinoza, who informed his victim that God wanted the good father to rape the 15-year-old boy. You see, Father Espinoza broke camp and headed for the border. He went back to Ecuador in 2003. Asked about the lawsuit, he said, one thing that I am conscious of is he was at that time a teenager, and it is a big mistake for me. But I didn't force him to do anything he didn't want. He was older enough to walk away, but I think that I was attracted to him. That is the only explanation that I can think right now. He had something evil in his mind. He approached me many times. He said what was illegal to rape a 15-year-old boy. And in my country, he's not considered so innocent at 15, because Ecuador has age of consent of 14. I think we're looking for the rapists in all the wrong places. He decided that in 2003, after youth group leader in the church, Antonio Salazar, and godfather of the boy, Hercules, told him, "You're in big trouble." As I said, the men advised, "God bless you. Go back to your country." And by the way, he was not extradited to the United States since 2003 and 2001. Justice. So we got that. And yes, as at the top of the program, Josh, hashtag Duggery. Hackers got all the Ashley Madison user files and user details, and people began combing through them. Once the news broke that the files had been gotten at, I imagine the big part of the Republican caucus, both in the House and the Senate, began to get just a little bit fidgety. And Gawker took time to go through the list. And there he was. Child sex abuser, incest committer, Josh Duggar, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist Christian. Stone cold busted. Just with two accounts. Not with one, but with two accounts. And he paid extra for affair protection. Yeah, really. That's all they got going there. Gawker writes, someone using a credit card belonging to a Joshua J. Duggar with a billing address that matches the home in Fayetteville, Arkansas, owned by his grandmother Mary, a home that was consistently shown on their now-canceled TV show, and in which Anna Duggar gave birth to her first child, paid a total of $986.76 for two different monthly Ashley Madison subscriptions from February 2013 until May of 2015. Of course, when you go to Ashley Madison, you put what you're looking for so that you don't get what you don't want. He was looking for, and these are quotes from the God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christian. He was looking for conventional sex, experimenting with sex toys, one-night stands, open to experimentation, gentleness, good with your hands, sensual massage, extended foreplay and teasing, Bubble bath for two. Oh, Mr. Bubble, Calgon, take me away. My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret. Calgon likes to give oral sex, likes to receive oral sex. Someone I can teach. Oh, dear. Apparently not over it, that whole grooming thing. Someone who can teach me kissing, cuddling and hugging, sharing fantasies, sex talk. That's what he was looking for. And his turn-ons? Jesus, it's like the data page Playboy Centerfold. A professional, well-groomed, stylish class jeans t-shirt type, muscular, fit body, petite figure, tall, short height, long hair, short hair, girl next door, naughty girl, sense of imagination, creative adventurous, relaxed and easygoing, aggressive, take-charge nature, hell, healthy body. I mean, he's looking for someone who's relaxed and easygoing, aggressive, take-charge nature, who is stylish and classy but wears casual jeans and t-shirts. He needs a good listener, and he needs good personal hygiene. He offers average sex drive, high sex drive, dislikes routine, has a secret love nest, disease-free, drug-free, and yes, he's turned on by natural breast assists. And remember, those $1,000 that he spent there, yeah, made that on the back of other good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians. Mm-hmm. You bet. And apparently he decided he was particularly enamored or in need once he became a lobbyist for the American Family Association. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's when he moved to Oxon Hill, Maryland. And spent his days inveighing against the assault on traditional marriage represented by gay people having the same rights as straight people, being able to get married to each other. Mm-hmm. Customers who buy 1,000 credits for $250 receive a money-back affair guarantee if they don't have an affair within 3 months. His first account was Josh the Man. Mm-hmm. I'm really open. You let me know what your fantasy is, and we'll do it. Let's just see where this goes. This is the second account. Do you have a spark? Let's just see where this goes. I'm looking to have a steamy affair. In the name of Jesus, I want to have a good time with someone who's passionate and see where it leads. Oh, no, not the American Family Association. It's the Family Research Council. So, having been stone cold busted, they have now issued yet another, of course, apology. Interesting, though, the apology went through an editing process. Today, on their webpage, statements from Jim Bob and Michelle Duggar and Josh Duggar. Please see the statement below from our son Josh regarding recent media stories about him. When we learned of this late last night, our hearts were broken. As we continue to place our trust in God, we ask for your prayers for Josh, Anna, our grandchildren, and our entire family. Somebody cue up Jimmy Swaggart. I have sinned against you. And the money just rolled in. He's not perfect, just forgiven. Statement from Josh Duggar. I have been the biggest hypocrite ever. While espousing faith and family values, I have secretly, over the last several years, been viewing pornography on the internets, and this became a secret addiction, and I became unfaithful to my wife. I am so ashamed of the double life that I have been living and am grieved for the hurt, pain, and disgrace my sin has caused my wife and my family. And most of all, Jesus and all those who profess faith in Him. I brought the hurt and a reproach to my family, close friends, and fans of our show with my actions that happened when I was 14, 15 years old, and now I have rebroken their trust. So they hastily glued it back together to be what? The last few years, while publicly stating I was fighting against immorality in our country, in my heart, I had allowed Satan to build a fortress that no one knew about. As I am learning the hard way,
probably shouldn't have written it like that.
We have the freedom to choose our actions, but we do not get to choose our consequences. I deeply regret all hurt I have caused to so many by being such a bad example. I humbly ask for your forgiveness. Please pray for my precious wife, Anna, and our family during this time. And please pray that I don't get too hard, hit too hard with the damned alimony when she throws me out of the house, which I'm pretty sure she's going to do, because she done said it about 15 dozen gajillion times since this whole story broke. And I think she's been pretty about ready to follow through on it. And you have any idea what my child support's going to be like?
No, none of that's in there. What's interesting, though, is it starts out, when it was first published, it says, in my heart I had allowed Satan to build a fortress that nobody knowed about. That got edited. In the updated version, he says, I was hiding my own personal failings. So was he possessed by Satan or not?
Was the devil in him? How can the... And I think I know why they had to edit it. Because how can the devil enter enter a heart where Jesus abideth? Right? I mean, your demons are supposed to just run squealing and squalling at the mere mention of the name of Jesus. So that kind of makes it pretty clear that he's not really among the saved. He doesn't have a real, live, honest-to-goodness personal relationship with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I was hiding my own personal failings. Was he really hiding? For years, hadn't people turned on that television show and looked at him and said, well, there's Cousin Pervy. Yeah. So, we've got that to consider. But don't you love the language? That stilted, insincere, over... overwrought, florid, purple prose. Yeah. Me too. So here we are, 3 minutes before the hour. We'll take a little break. Hey, it's Thursday. That means we get the Green News Report, right? Goody. You know how to reach the program if you want to be part of the conversation, I trust. One number is 304-574-8178. The other, the stress line, well, that's 304-663-4676, 304-663-4. Okay. And we are indeed trying to catch up on fundraising this evening. Had a tough Tuesday, wasn't here last night, and then we got tonight to deal with. $360 is where we need to be, I think, if I recall correctly. And that's 10 at 3, 10 at 36, 36 to 10, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. So here we go. Light up the phones. Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn. Email bobkincaid@gmail.com. Whatever your pleasure. This is Conversation Radio. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Just one song. And I'll choose it.
Play it.
Oh,
wish that I was dead while the army's all sleeping beneath the tattered flag we made. Had you stopped my tracks for fear of walking on.
It's Thursday, August 20, 2015.
Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton today made a big break with the Obama administration.
Hillary Clinton draws a bright green line around Arctic drilling. EPA tells oil and gas industry to cut the methane.
Oh, you made a joke.
Islamic leaders call on Muslims worldwide to act on climate change. Plus, water contamination in America's rivers and streams is creating intersex fish.
All of that intersex and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Did you see the explosions in China? It was so big it made the night sky look like day. And I tell you, in China, between the explosions making the night look like day and the pollution making the day look like night, it's a wonder these people get to sleep at all.
I know the feeling. This is your Green News Report.
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen, some good news first. Fox News is finally concerned about the environment.
Oh, they are.
Yes, they are. Well, it took an EPA contractor screwing up, as we've talked about, spilling this toxic yellow goo into the river up in Colorado as they were trying to clean up a gold mine. But now, all of a sudden, since the EPA is responsible, now all of a sudden, Fox News cares about the environment.
And now this heavy metal is destroying hundreds of millions, probably billions of dollars worth of property.
There's lead and arsenic and all sorts of bad stuff going down the river.
The land will never be returned to its pristine estate.
Can you believe that?
Wow.
Now they're worried about lead and arsenic and the land being returned to pristine. Unbelievable. I guess that's what it takes for them to give a damn at Fox News.
First time for everything.
What do you got for us today?
2016 Democratic presidential frontrunner Hillary Clinton drew a bright green line around Arctic drilling this week, breaking with the Obama administration's decision to permit oil giant Shell to drill for offshore oil in the fragile, pristine Arctic. In a tweet, Clinton said, quote, "The Arctic is a unique treasure. Given what we know, it's not worth the risk of drilling." She went further at a campaign event in Las Vegas.
I think the very grave difficulties that Shell encountered the last time they tried to do that should be a red flag for anybody. And I think we should not risk the potential catastrophes that could come about from accidents in looking for more oil in one of the few remaining pristine regions of the world.
Well, good for her.
Clinton did focus on the damage from oil spills. Scientists say that to avoid catastrophic global warming, two-thirds of the world's remaining fossil fuels must stay in the ground, and that includes the Arctic's oil. Meanwhile, the Obama administration's Environmental Protection Agency made another big move to cut greenhouse gas emissions this week.
Did they spill something?
They did not.
Oh, never mind Fox News. You don't need to listen to this story.
The EPA proposed the first ever standards to reduce methane emissions from the oil and gas sector by more than 40% off of 2012 levels within the next 10 years. Now, this is a big deal. Methane is a more potent greenhouse gas than carbon dioxide on short timescales, and the oil and gas industry is one of the nation's biggest sources of methane emissions. Now, the industry opposes these new rules, saying that they're already cutting methane emissions, and they say the proposed rules are unnecessary and too costly.
And Fox News agrees.
A new report from the U.S. Geological Survey has found bee-killing pesticides in the nation's waterways. More than half of the streams that were studied were contaminated with neonicotinoid pesticides, first introduced 10 years ago, and they have been implicated in the decline of bees across the U.S.
Is Fox News carrying this story about our rivers and streams being poisoned?
No.
Imagine that.
Another study found intersex fish in North Carolina. Researchers from North Carolina State University found male black bass and some species of sunfish in North Carolina rivers had eggs in their testes. The researchers say the likely sources are feedlots, industrial pollutants, and pesticides that act like estrogens, and they're all legally dumped in North Carolina waterways. Last month, Pope Francis issued his landmark encyclical calling on the world's 1 billion Catholics to act on climate change. Now, a group of Islamic religious leaders have issued the Islamic Climate Declaration. The declaration states that the world's 1.6 billion Muslims have a religious duty to fight climate change, and they urge wealthy nations to lead by recognizing their, quote, moral obligation to reduce consumption so that the poor may benefit from what is left of the Earth's non-renewable resources.
Wow, now Republicans are really going to hate Muslims.
But Pope Francis is upping the ante. He declared that every year from now on, September 1st will be a day of prayer for creation, literally an annual day of prayer to promote the care of the planet. Pope Francis is going to be the first pope to address a joint session of Congress next month, and he'll call on Republicans to act on climate change.
Keep calling, Pope. Nobody's home. For much more on those stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Yeah, going back to the bumper I chose, when I read the story about the latest round of duggery, and I allowed Satan to build a fortress in my heart, I thought, well, somebody's a Sting fan. Maybe not. Who knows? Let's run over to the Skype line. Carol's with us. Hey, Carol, good evening.
Hey, I am with you.
Yeah, are indeed.
Indeedy. So how was your day? Never mind. Anyway. Sorry, that just fell out of my face.
Yeah, forget I said that.
Let me tell you how mine was.
Do please.
I had the funniest thing happen to me today. I have a client that I deal with who's got a vast collection of antique cars. You've seen me post many of them.
Yes.
And he's a millionaire, and he's living proof that just because you have money doesn't mean that you have any sort of class or
brains
or whatever. So I had to go down there to deliver a check from one of the partners. And I walked, and it was like the first thing he hit me with when I walked in the door. He goes, "We all have to vote Republican in 2016 to get the economy back on track."
Oh, stop it.
I looked at him and I said, "The economy's been bad for you. Really, Rudy, you're a millionaire. The stock market's tripled. All the real estate that you have has regained all of its value and then some. You want for nothing. What is so bad for you?" He goes, "Well, it's all these goddamn illegals, and that's why we need Donald Trump for president." I said, I'm a poor woman. I can't afford to vote Republican. And I said, "As for the illegals, you know, like those human beings that you're talking about, I said, I happen to notice that Jesus and his entire crew of Mexicans outside taking care of the garden and the landscaping. I said, you know, whenever you need to bark orders at Jesus and the crew, you send me downstairs because you don't speak his language. And since you can't communicate with him, where do you think he's from exactly? Peoria?" And he goes, "Well, I'm not concerned with Jesus. He's one of the good ones." I said, "Do you really think Donald Trump cares? He intends to round all of them up and deport them." I said, "Of course, they're going to end up in an American concentration camp first, but hey, if it was good enough for the Third Reich, it's good enough for us, huh?"
Damn, Skippy.
I said, "And then you're going to be really upset when you have to call Robert's Lawn Service and they come out here and want to charge you triple. But you go on ahead and vote for your man Trump." And then he goes, "You're voting for the Democrats, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, because I'm poor. And the economy that you hate so much that has further enriched you is a direct result of supply-side economics and Wall Street on a drunken bench. But go ahead and blame the black guy. I'm voting for Bernie Sanders." And he just looked pissed, and I walked out the door. As I'm going out the door, who's standing right by the back door?
Jesus?
Jesus.
Jesus?
Yes. And he heard the whole conversation. So he kind of smiles at me, and he goes, "My English much better than Mr. Think, but he's such an asshole." He goes, "I let him think I don't understand. He calls us wetbacks thinking we don't know." He said, "And then he wonders why all of his flowers died in that bed along the property line." He goes, "That's what happens when 10 wetbacks pee on it." I thought at that moment, I've never respected that man more than I did right then. I just squeezed his shoulder and smiled. He got in the car. I laughed all the way back. It was so gorgeous.
Yeah, it's almost a cleansing moment, isn't it?
It was a cleansing moment. And I thought, oh, God, you are just precious, buddy. Because he does. That's how he talks about them. Because he thinks they don't understand. So he smack talks them right in front of them.
Right, and when he wants them to understand better, he speaks louder.
Right.
Said, "Donde esta la..."
No, that's when he kind of punches me in the air when he goes, "Carol, tell him to get that shit picked up over there. Tell those wetbacks to get that." And I finally looked at him one day and I was like, "Do not call them that." And he goes, "Oh, I forgot. You're sensitive to these things." And I said, "Yes, I am."
See, that's just one of
the... We go at it all the time, but you see, the thing of it is, he needs me more than I need him. So he puts up with my mouth.
But you have to need him more, because he's got money.
No, I don't. If I never worked for him another day, I'd be just fine.
You know, you with your intact morals and your intact conscience.
Isn't it just awful? Yeah. But anyway... but I just thought that was a great anecdotal story of something that happened to me today, and I got a kick out of it, and I thought you would too. I just had this vision of all those Mexicans peeing on his flower beds.
Well, see, and that's how America stops being great again, one flower bed along the property line at a time.
On the Country Club Plaza.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking... the creme de la creme of the moneyed elite in Kansas City. And you wouldn't think that sounds very...
Oh, no, there's money.
There's shit tons of money, and one mansion after another, and he owns two of them side by side.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So what, does he morning in one and evening in the other?
No, he's got one of them that's been up for sale, but he's been having a hard time finding a buyer for $3 million. But he needs the space because it's got a 24-car garage underneath of it, and his 24-car garage is full.
Well, of course they are. Just can't quite whittle it down to 24, can he?
No.
Well, speaking of cars, we've had some good news for the job creators here in West Virginia, Carol.
Really?
Yes, I'm most gratified. I hate it when we see the wealthy suffer unjustly.
I do hate it when that happens.
So, you remember Gary Southern? Way back when the West Virginia water crisis happened in January of 2014.
Oh, was he the guy that took the big swig of water on TV and said he'd had a long day? And
that's our boy.
Yeah.
Well, he got charged with some crimes. He got charged with 12 felony bankruptcy fraud counts, stream littering, all kinds of stuff. And it's a glorious day for justice in America. Because as Kelly told me over on Facebook, well, he's pleaded guilty. He's going up the river. Yep.
He's going up the contaminated river?
Yep, for 30 days.
30 days?
To a year.
Holy shit.
Because the prosecutor, the U.S. District Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia, decided that it wouldn't be fair to try him for 12 felony counts of bankruptcy fraud, and instead he just let him plead to 3 misdemeanor counts.
Well, yeah. Good for him. Bless his heart.
He pleaded guilty to negligent discharge of a pollutant, unlawful discharge of refuse into a stream, literally stream littering, and negligent violation of a water pollution permit. Mm-hmm.
Negligent, it was willful.
Well, I'd say it was grossly reckless, but yeah, just us, what do we know? So 12 felony counts went bye-bye, and when 12 felony counts went bye-bye, the $7.3 million that the federal government had seized incident to the bankruptcy fraud, and his house, and his Bentley. And I know you know what a Bentley is.
Everybody knows. Yep.
Well, he's going to get them back.
Well, bless his heart.
We wouldn't want him to suffer unjustly. I mean, all he did was poison 300,000 people. I mean, he might go to jail for one day for every 10,000 people that he poisoned. Is my math right?
I don't know, but that seems awfully harsh for a millionaire.
I don't know how he's going to handle it in the stir. Yeah, the federal stir.
He's not going to federal prison, not even for a day.
Probably not.
They'll keep him in county, isolated, have special meals delivered.
He faces a minimum of 30 days and a maximum of 3 years in prison and a fine of up to $300,000. This is funny. Try not to cackle too uproariously into the microphone, Carol.
Yeah.
U.S. Attorney Booth Goodwin touted the guilty pleas, which forced 4 of the freedom officials to face mandatory jail time, as a wake-up call to other corporate executives that if you place our water at risk, you face prison time, all 30 days of them.
You mean like the BP guys?
Yeah. You can't live without water, Goodwin said. We have to make it crystal clear that this kind of behavior will not be tolerated. Now, I wonder if the goddess of irony arranged for a blast to go off on a mountaintop removal site at the exact instant he said that. Just wonder.
Yikes.
Yeah. By the way, Steve in New York asks, my car is nearly 24 years old. Instead of having 24 cars, what does that make me?
Poor.
and apparently a pretty good mechanic, keeping one going for that long.
Yes.
Yeah. So, let's see. At his press conference, Goodwin defended his office's handling of the property seized from Southern and the restitution issue, saying that the key way to deter corporate environmental crimes is to send company executives to jail. It's not about writing a check, Goodwin said. It's about potentially checking your three-piece suit for a prison jumpsuit.
For 30 days.
For 30 days.
You know, black men who have stolen a loaf of bread because they were hungry have gotten 10 years.
Oh, don't I know it. Yeah. And Steve also noting, yeah, wake-up call. What Booth Goodwin says, a wake-up call. Yeah, it's a wake-up call with a 50-year snooze button. Bullshit.
Yeah.
I think Steve gets a toaster for that one. That's pretty good.
Yes.
50-year snooze button.
Or at least an alarm clock.
Jesus. But no, I knew you'd get a big kick out of that.
Those poor put upon rich people.
My heart just bleeds.
But I have another story for you.
Oh, yes?
Why, yes, Missouri has a new favorite misogynist. I got this out of the Southeast Missourian, which is sort of down by the boot heel. Takes that whole area, like, from St. Anne's south to Cape Girardeau.
Yep. Home of Rush Limbaugh.
Yes, Rush Limbaugh country. This comes out of Perryville, Missouri. Perryville is about an hour or so north of Jackson. So a divided Perry County School Board, this shocked me, Tuesday night voted to censure a board member for inappropriate conduct. During a special meeting at the Career Center, the board voted 4-3, it was close, to censure Mark Grimaud for derogatory comments that the board said he directed at fellow board member Kathy Caron. During a recent closed executive meeting, Grimaud is alleged to have addressed Caron saying, "Kathy, you're just a woman. The only thing you know is laying on your back with your legs in the air splayed."
Nice Grimaud, guy.
Isn't he lovely? Now, he denied that was his exact comment, and he denied addressing her by name, although everyone was present and the other board members disagree. Board President Nancy Volker read the statement after much discussion about whether it could be read during an open meeting because the remarks were made during closed session. Board member Jeff Wilbrecht asked to see legal documentation that the board would not face any consequences for revealing what took place during the closed session. Volker, who took the time to call the board's attorney during Tuesday's meeting in an attempt to reassure Wilbrecht, drew the distinction the matter involving Grimaud was a personal rather than a personnel or school issue. "I was advised by our attorney that this was the way the issue had to be handled." Asking whether Wilbrecht was more comfortable with the situation, "I think it's safe to say I'm not comfortable with any of this," Wilbrecht said. Gee, I wonder how comfortable Kathy was. Grimaud was not allowed to speak during Tuesday's meeting. He requested to do so once and asked to speak with his attorney. Wilbrecht and Kevin Bachman took up for Grimaud, explaining in front of the large crowd gathered that the remark was made during a heated debate in closed session and that Grimaud already apologized and tried to explain it wasn't meant to be sexual in nature.
What, Edith, huh?
Yeah. I'm telling you, I read that statement aloud 10 times. Couldn't square it.
What else does a woman do on her back with her legs in the air splayed?
Knit. I don't know. I have no idea.
Having babies.
Well, Wilbrecht appealed to the board to put, quote, petty differences aside. I don't think that's petty. And he said, when one of us needs to be held accountable, we hold each other accountable inside the boardroom instead of throwing it out for the public to sit there and tear our community apart like what we're talking about right now in front of the media. His remarks drew applause from the crowd. Caron said she did not find the remark to be petty at all and called it a blatant attack against women in general, and said she found concerning given the number of women employed by the district. Her comment also drew wild applause. The board voted 4-3, twice by roll call, first to censure Grimaud and then to request his resignation. The board does not have the power to force a member out of office. And Captain It Wasn't Sexual says he has no intentions of resigning.
Well, maybe some folks can spit in his face on out on the street until he does.
So, you know, I was utterly appalled by this story. And, but, you know, Mark Grimaud at 5818 North Highway 51 in Perryville, Missouri, 63775, I'm sure would be thrilled to hear your comments since they're not taking them at the board meetings. Again, that's Mark Grimaud at 5818 North Highway 51 in Perryville, Missouri, 63775. Not that I'd want anyone to contact him personally, but...
No. No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. That would be wrong. 5818 North Highway 51, Perryville. And, I thought, God, this is exactly the kind of crap that women deal with all day long.
Oh, sure it is. A note came in from Steven a minute ago, Carol. He said, let's try this. You bitch, but I mean it as a compliment.
Steve, sort of
not
like
meant
that.
To be sexist, out of context, take your pick.
Yeah, I
was taken out of context. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't mean it in a sexual way.
Do we have any, well, do we even have to guess this guy's, never mind, his political orientation?
Oh, he's very conservative. Bob, he makes you look like the shadow. He's so white. I'm talking shock of white hair, porn stash.
Nice.
Yeah.
The porn stash always does it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I'm just glad that he's making decisions about what's good for our children down in Perry County, Missouri.
Absolutely. Probably calls that porn stash his Ozark tickler.
Good one.
Yeah, that was just right off the cuff. Sometimes they just come unbidden.
Yes, as Shakespeare once said, sometimes this shit just writes itself.
Yes, it does. Never mind the infinite monkeys and the infinite typewriters. Sometimes it's just not necessary.
Absolutely right. And, of course, the final story for today that I had was Donald Trump decided to go after Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl. And the attorney for Bergdahl said that Trump's comments made by Donald Trump threaten his client's right to a fair trial. Trump called Bergdahl a dirty, rotten traitor. At a town hall in New Hampshire today, Trump referred to Bergdahl as a dirty, rotten traitor and appeared to pantomime his execution while criticizing his release as part of the prisoner exchange with the Taliban. Well, I felt like Bergdahl was swift-boated to begin with.
I don't think that's 100% clear in the first place.
It isn't, but, you know, the Army has found him guilty of, or no, they charged him with desertion and endangering fellow soldiers, and he is still going to face trial, and he faces life in prison if he's convicted, but he hasn't been convicted of anything yet.
No, and even if you're in the military, don't you still enjoy the constitutional presumption of innocence?
Well, unless Donald Trump has an opinion about the whole affair. But, you know, that dick smack just loves to... It's like, who can I insult today?
Well, there's another one added to the list. I've even got audio of it.
Really?
Yes.
Do play.
T-Rump has decided that His Holiness Pope Frank needs a good talking to.
Really? Not an ass-kicking? Not a full-on ass-kicking?
Well, it may be. It may be. He was he was interviewed by Chris Cuomo over on Chicken Noodle News.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. This will be fun.
So let me ask you about the Pope. The Pope's coming. Do you want to meet him?
Well, I'm Protestant, but I have great respect for the Pope. I like the Pope. I actually like him. He's becoming very political. There's no question about it. But I like him. He seems like a pretty good guy.
So here's the moment. You meet the Pope. Pope Francis comes.
Right.
There's a translator there.
Right.
And he says, oh, Mr. Trump, this is very nice. And then he says, you know, I want to tell him something. The translator says to you, the Pope believes that capitalism can be a real avenue to greed. It can be really toxic and corrupt. And he's shaking his finger at you when he says it. What do you say in response to the Pope?
I'd say ISIS wants to get you. You know that ISIS wants to go in and take over the Vatican. You have heard that. You know that's a dream of theirs, to go into Italy.
He talks to you about capitalism. You scare the Pope?
No, I'm going to have to scare the Pope, because it's the only thing. There's only one. Look, the Pope, I hope, can only be scared by God.
Is the ceiling open over here right now?
The Pope, I hope, can only be scared by God. But the truth is, you know, if you look at what's going on, they better hope that capitalism works, because it's the only thing we have right now. Great thing when it works properly. In our country, Chris, it has not been working properly.
The capitalism has.
It has not been working properly.
Do you take him seriously
between,
what he says?
Between regulation, between all of the Dodd-Frank, between all of the different things that have been imposed, we aren't competitive like we used to be. We have to open up our country to great capitalists. And I don't think the Pope is opposed to capitalism, by the way. I've seen a lot of what he's opposed to, and I don't think the Pope is opposed to capitalism.
You got that? I was about to say, hey, he said something smart. He said something right, that there's problems with capitalism. But it turns out it's not a problem with capitalism, Carol. It's a problem with those damned regulations.
Those jackbooted thugs and them regulations.
Yep, job killers.
Yep.
Because, you know, if we hadn't had any regulations, I'm sure Wall Street would have done just fine after they completely shattered the economy.
Yeah, it's a pity, you know, that full-blown depression that they were shooting for didn't happen.
Yeah, maybe we could have seen Donald Trump out on a ledge somewhere.
We could have culled the herd.
Maybe that mansion would be selling for $1.5 million instead of $3 million.
So the headloppers are coming for the Vatican, eh?
Yep. Donald Trump is gonna sick the headloppers, the bad headloppers, not the good headloppers, our friends and partners in peace, but the bad headloppers.
It's the Saudis, yes.
Yeah, he's going to sick the bad headloppers on the Pope, because the headloppers want the Vatican. Got that? Yeah. Jesus.
Big sigh.
Oh, giant one.
You know, we're going to have to get to the point to where, you know how we no longer speak of the Tundra Twunt, she whose name will not be spoken?
Yes, grandmothered and grandfathered, yeah.
Yes, it's getting there with Trump real fast.
Well, it is, but the problem is, he keeps rising in the damn polls. The meaner, stupider, and more hateful he gets, the more America likes him.
No, the more uneducated America likes him.
The stumps.
No, the stumps.
The bumpuses.
No one in their right mind likes this guy, because he hasn't said anything. He hasn't said anything. He hasn't put forth a single policy. He talks in these vast generalities, and it's like, I'm so great and I'm so huge that everybody's just going to do what I say.
Oh, well, did you hear, we're talking about his healthcare declaration?
Oh, dear, what?
We have to get rid of this Obamacare and replace it with some kind of healthcare that's really terrific for women, because I love women. It's going to be terrific for women. Terrific.
What would that be?
He says it's going to be a matter of the unregulated private sector providing health care.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case. He said nothing.
Yeah. Meanwhile, speaking of women's health care, they had a protest in front of Bobby Jindal's house. He used Jindal down in Louisiana stand.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. They were rallying in front of the governor's mansion this afternoon. And he responded by playing... He claimed that he was going to respond by playing the Planned Parenthood dummied up, faked up, frauded up, rubed up, ginned up videos.
That'll show them.
Yeah. Because Piyush, amateur exorcist that he is, Piyush has said that he's going to ban Medicaid patients from being able to obtain medical services at Planned Parenthood. Yeah, big sigh. Never mind the fact that that's illegal as hell. And
yeah.
In fact, the Department of Health and Human Services just dropped him a note saying, Piyush, you can't do that. You see, abortion is legal. It's a constitutional right, Piyush. But never mind, he's going to do it. Yeah. Right.
Well, that's what they always do. They do everything anyway. It ends up going to court, costing the taxpayers tens, hundreds of thousands, maybe sometimes into the millions, and then there never seems to be any consequences for these idiots.
Well, Planned Parenthood in Louisiana alone provided care for 5,000 low-income patients through Medicaid last year. In Louisiana, I mean, these are for a country, Carol, that considers itself civilized. These numbers should be not only shocking but unconscionable. In Louisiana,
yes.
nearly 20% of the entire population are uninsured.
Mm-hmm.
In Louisiana, 60% of pregnancies are unintended. The New Orleans and Baton Rouge have among the highest HIV infection rates of any cities in the United States.
Ooh, that abstinence only thing is really working.
It's banging right along on all eight, isn't it?
Yeah, I saw what you did there.
Yeah, well, I'm clever that way. Let's see. Because this whole Planned Parenthood thing is just, well, it's sickening. And it's so disingenuous and so just downright dirty. Because it's not all about the abortions and the little fetuses.
It's about
HIV testing.
Play into the base.
Cancer screening. Testing and treatment for STDs.
Mm-hmm.
All of the approved methods of birth control. Pregnancy testing. Options counseling. Hell, Planned Parenthood screens for high blood pressure. And diabetes.
And prostate cancer.
Do they?
Yes.
I'll be dipped. But we can't have that.
A lot of those services go to men.
I'll be damned. Yeah, over in the chat room, Arthur says, Trump's got great policies. Huge policies. You fired. I love women. I think bitches are huge. Yeah, that's pretty much him. Beautiful. Yeah.
He's so obnoxious and he says nothing. He's offered nothing. He's going to make he's going to build a wall and he's going to make Mexico pay for it.
Yeah.
Really?
And then we're going to build and we're going to according to that asshat in Iowa, we're going to build it with slave labor.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You'll love this. Michael and Madison just sent along a little meme. He made it the other day. Donald J. Trump, modern feminist. I'm very much into the whole thing of helping people and helping women. I will be phenomenal to women. I will be so good to women. I cherish women. And it's a lovely picture of Donald with his tongue hanging out of his face. Yeah.
Yeah, except for poor women and ex-wives.
Yeah, and there's his new motto, Trump, for people and women.
I like that.
Isn't that precious? Yeah.
For people
and women. Yes.
That's good.
For people.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah, oh, Michael's got all kinds of good stuff. So, I just saw here, there's been a second dump of Ashley Madison data.
Yes. Yes, I heard that there had been a second dump. I hadn't had a chance to go through it yet. I've been too busy trying to keep up with the other idiots. But, I would imagine that there are a lot of very nervous people tonight.
Oh, they've got to be sweating bullets in the House and the Senate. And other places where Republicans congregate.
Yes.
And you know, it's funny. I don't know. I can't begin to know, Carol, how I get these right-wing pitches. But for a while there, every few days, I was getting a press release from Ashley Madison Media. And I swear I have never. But the fact is, you get on one person's Rolodex, and the next thing you know, you're getting all of them. But I would sometimes read them and just say, what? Because they're, well, I mean, I don't know. People's business is people's business. And one would hope people's data would be secure. But it ain't necessarily, is it? I'm trying to find here. Okay, there's one. This one came in July, this news release. Ashley Madison Media, Canada is the most popular vacation destination for American cheaters. No
really?
Kidding. Yeah. What better time to pursue a little something on the side than when you're miles away from home? Based on responses from a survey of 106,312 members of the discreet dating site Ashley Madison, 48.4% of men and 32.1% of women polled have had an affair while traveling outside the country. Internal data from Ashley Madison reveals that Canada is the most popular rendezvous retreat for American men, 23.1%, and women, 22.7%. The list is the same for men and women. Canada, then the UK. Women, third place, women prefer Australia. Men prefer Mexico. Fourth place, men prefer Japan. Women prefer Germany. Fifth place, men prefer Germany. Women prefer to cheat in Mexico. Yeah.
Geez, and around here they save so much money by just going to the motel down the road.
Well, yeah, just heading down to the no-tail motel.
That's it.
Easy terms, rates by the hour.
It's called the Jackrabbit Motel, and they rent rooms by the hour.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
There isn't really one.
Yes, there is.
There's not really a Jackrabbit Motel in Hooterville.
Yes, there is.
Help me. Jack, is it Jack, Rabbit? I mean...
There's also a Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park and Mobile Home Country Club.
Now you just quit it.
There is.
You're just having sport with me now.
I have pictures.
Say that again.
Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Country Club and Trailer Park.
Oh.
I swear, it's in Bates City. It's just up the road. It's right on I-70. There's a big sign.
Ballerina Swan Lake Country Club. Yeah, okay,
Country Club?
It just went on the bucket list. I mean, right up there with that big overpass where it looks like the world disappears.
It's not that far. It's only about 8 miles from there.
Well,
I know exactly.
That's better. That's better than detouring to see the world's biggest ball of string.
It is. You too. I'm going to send you pictures. I know I have one of the ballerina Swan Lake sign. Because it just, I had a friend here from Los Angeles. We were driving down the road. And, you know, I've seen it like 10 million times, so I ignore it. And all of a sudden, he's just like, please tell me my eyes are playing tricks on me. And I was like, what? He goes, did that just say Ballerina, Swan Lake, Mobile Home, Country Club, and Trailer Park? I said, oh, yeah, the Ballerina Trailer Park, yeah.
That's got to be better than Rock City.
He goes, we have to go back. He said, you have to find the next exit and go back. I have to take pictures. I have to take this back to L.A. So I did.
And, by the way, our buddy Ron in Canada says, regarding data protection, rule number one, never post anything to any site on Facebook, etc., that you would not want to see posted on a billboard beside the interstate. Rule number two pales in significance. Ron says, this is the other Ron and Raleigh. I prefer the Rock'em Sock'em Motel from Married with Children. Oh, the Bida Wee Motel. You know it. Well, and that's where you go for your Ashley Madison Hooterville hookup, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't even want to. See, that's the thing. We all get our Schadenfreude giggles out of Josh Duggar. But by the same token, there are things that once seen in the mind cannot be unseen, and in order to think about this story, you have to think about Josh Duggar naked. And I'm not okay after that. I'm really not okay.
I'm not okay with that. I read his wants and desires, and I'm sitting there going, that's just, you know, and he describes himself as so buff. And I'm sitting there going, you are just one step away from being another doughy white guy.
That word, he keeps using that word. I don't think it means what he thinks it means.
It doesn't mean what you think it means, Josh.
Buff.
It was. And, of course, I went over to the Duggar's family official page. And, of course, I'm so heartbroken over this news. I will always support the Duggars. I can't imagine how this is affecting Anna and the rest of the family. Please, Josh, turn to Christ.
I thought he was already there.
He turned to something, but it wasn't Christ.
There's that fortress the devil built in his heart. Yeah, no kidding. Oh, by the way, little good news. Our dear friend Gerald was apparently offended by all the round numbers. Our fundraising goal has now been modified to $341.57.
You the man, Gerald. Front of the line. Front of the line, minion.
Yep. 341.57. Help me remember that. I've been working on the ciphering in my head for a while.
No. I've made it, that's my policy. I'm not helping you remember it because I like watching you suffer through it.
Oh, because you're a giver.
Because you told me to eat a shit sandwich.
there's that. by the way, you got a note from the marvelously coherent Diane in Kansas, Stan.
Yes.
She says, listening to Carol, I am getting the idea that she and I live in different Midwests. I am referring to the Ballerina Swan Lake Hotel and Trailer Park or whatever that was. Apparently, there isn't one of those over in Kansas, Stan.
No, it's in Bates City, Missouri. Right on I-70.
Make your reservations now. I mean, do they accept walk-ins? Or I mean, it's a country club, so there's got to be dues. And is it a putt-putt course or
what? No, there are dues, but they have a swimming pool.
You mean a cement pond?
They got theirs as a cement pond.
Well, doggies.
Yes, sorry. And they don't let Eller May in there with the critters, neither.
Well, not the critters. I mean, they let Eller May in, right?
Well, yeah. Have you seen her?
I love my country. I do. I do. Oh, Carol, what are we going to do?
Sometimes, Bob, I'm reduced to pointing and laughing because it beats crying and pounding my fist.
Or just, you know, Tourette's swearing kind of.
Oh, I have those days. When you see my Facebook status that says, fuckity, fuck, fuck, fucker, you know that I've just.
You know, pretty soon we'll have a machine that takes care of all of those, Carol.
Yes, we will.
Just boop. It's a time machine. Like 25 seconds just disappears.
The Angry Indian Baker clean 'em up machine.
Yep. Let's not get Bob fined $475,000 machine.
We're givers, but we're not that big a givers.
No, I mean the thing isn't cheap, and like I said, we're kind of hanging out at the $800 level on the fundraiser, the equipment fundraiser.
That's all that's left.
Well, it's between 8 and 13, depending on whether we can, because the actual total for the two pieces of equipment is slightly more than $4,500.
Oh,
I set it at $4,500. We're 800 from that, and we are 13 from an even 5.
Well, if I ever get paid, I'll give you more money.
Yeah, don't worry. We'll get there. We'll get there, but... No, they're pricey. The little make the dirty words disappear machine is pricey, but compared to a $475,000 fine, it is, in a word, minuscule.
True. Oh, there was one more story I had to share with you.
Absolutely.
Totally forgot. Two Missouri Republican lawmakers had to resign because they were, frankly, being leeches with the interns.
Ew.
Yeah, and all of their text messages were released and all that. So their fix is that, first they had suspended the intern program. And they, the Missouri state legislatures got together and they all decided that they want a very strict dress code for interns. Because then maybe they'll stop tempting those men. And I'm saying, if you're going to, you know, enact a dress code, then it ought to include blinders for the legislators, since they can't control themselves. The problem is not with the interns.
No more than it was. Well, this story is out of Kentucky, Stan, mm-hmm. And a high school girl there was sent home because she was inappropriately dressed.
Oh, tempting the boys, was she?
That's exactly what was claimed. She was manifesting a lascivious degree of skiing. And the boys could not be expected to control themselves with such feminine pulchritudity on display, because that's what it says right there in the code of conduct for that school district.
So Holly Harlett had to go home and change clothes?
Absolutely. Mama had to take time off from work, and Mama is pissed. She had to take time off from work to go and get her a little trampy daughter.
So what exactly was this child wearing?
She was showing her collarbone.
Not the collarbone.
The very one. Because boys, they can't control themselves.
Really, they think that a collarbone is what makes teenagers pop a boner?
I am so not kidding. I mean, it was over her freaking collarbone. I mean, there are photographs. Mama took pictures in the hallway.
Of her collarbone?
Of her dressed in her in her sleaziness.
The harlot doesn't fall far from the harlot tree if Mama's taking pictures of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, and there it was. I mean, you could probably see a whole, there's probably a square half inch of collarbone you could see right there. Just tempting calling, begging Satan to come into the hearts of them fine, upstanding boys and build Satan fortresses in their hearts, just like the one he done built in Josh Duggar's. Dang.
So, the responsibility for not making the boys misbehave falls on the girls. Why don't they just make them all wear burkas and say, fuck it?
I think we're getting there. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, and the Christian Taliban has not yet completely consolidated its hold.
Yeah, if that was my daughter, I'd send her ass to school wearing a burqa, and I would forbid her from taking gym class and showing any part of her body. Because, you know what? If her collarbone's too sexied up for the rest of the school, then it's too sexied up for gym class.
Damn
right. They should see her legs or her bare arms or her face or anything.
And she can wrap her head up in some headgear.
Oh, hell yeah. That ought to make them real nervous. That mama needs to call me.
Oh, mama's on a bit of a crusade right now. I mean, not to you, that's probably not the right word, but she's not happy. Let's see. Photo of the young woman posted to Reddit showed her wearing a tan undershirt with a white shirt on top, complete with a pair of jeans. School officials sent her home because her collarbone was showing, which went against the dress code. Female students are not allowed to... No, wait a minute, wrong accent. Female students are not allowed to show their collarbone because it's distracting the male students.
So the onus is not on the male students to, you know, keep their nose in their books.
Or anything else in anything else. Right, no. It's the temptress's fault.
I'm telling you what. Dressed like that, that girl is one step away from a stripper pole.
You know it. And Ron and Raleigh said a minute ago, hey, Bob, they said, that little hussy was probably showing the upper portion of her gasp décolletage. Well, I don't even know where the décolletage is, but if it's anywhere near the collarbone... Well, no, she's only showing collarbone. That's the thing here.
I'd be so tickled if I could find my collarbone.
Well, I'm checking mine, and it's right up under my neck. Of course, mine's got hair all over it. How kinky are these right wingers, Carol?
They're. All they think about is sex.
I mean, apparently Principal Whackbottom there is just... Because I don't think the other male students are distracted. I think dirty old Principal is.
You know, honestly, I mean, when we were in school, we pretty much wore what we wanted. I saw off-the-shoulder shirts. I saw...
Well, and that's why America that's why America's not great again.
Oh, because we were sluts.
Right, just trash.
Well,
I mean, no wonder we abort the poor little fetuses, and the homosexuals can get married now. It all started with you temptresses out there in Iowa high schools, wearing of whatever you wanted.
Barbie was the worst.
Oh, I'll bet.
No, she wasn't.
Probably coming to school in her little bat girl, cat woman unitard, and it, yeah.
I'd have paid cash money for that. No, she was...
No, wait, you had the Superman shirt, right? Or was it Batman?
I was wearing the Batman shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. I forgot I posted that. Yeah, I think I was 4.
Yeah, well, see, it all begins in the home now, doesn't it?
It does. I weren't raised right. This, yes, it's true. My mama's the reason we can't have nice things.
Well, you know, just be glad y'all's real white, because otherwise you could get mistooken for illegal and get dragged into slavery in Iowa by Jan Michelson, conservative of the Conservative Brain Trust.
We're all so ever so slightly less white than you are, Bob. No way we could have been mistaken for anything but, you know, terminally Caucasian.
Oh, God.
I burn in the shade.
Oh, I burn under the refrigerator bulb. But, you know.
Well, I'm not that bad, but thank goodness.
Well, I'm sitting here trying to figure out what the bumper is. It's great. Any suggestions?
Let's see. Brown Chicken, Brown Cow by Trace Adkins.
Dang. Wait, let's see. So we had pervy, sleazy, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered. There it is. Okay.
See, this is when I miss Hee-Haw, because, you know, if it weren't for Schadenfreude, I'd have no fruit at all.
Right. Doom, despair, and misery on me.
That's right.
I got it here. We're going to make this kind of a sting evening after that fortress around your heart, because of course, yeah, this will be perfect too. Carol, I have absolutely treasured this conversation, and I thank you very kindly for it.
Always.
Well, you have yourself a lovely evening there in fair Hooterville, as the sun sets over the lake and the gooses begin to honk. And just enjoy your tranquility.
And the water cools over the pool at the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park of Mobile Home Country Club.
Damn. Life is
good. I'm sending you pictures.
You must. Life is good in Hooterville.
It is.
All right, Carol, you have a lovely evening.
You too.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Ah, the one and only Carol Baker, live from Hooterville, and just a stone's throw from the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Country Club and Trailer Park. Living the dream. Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll take a break. Hey, lines are both open. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. And, yes, thank you again to Gerald for taking us down to $341.57. For the fundraising goal for the evening. And our good friend Steve in New York has put another challenge on the table, and he is offering to match up the next $25 that come in, so your 25 could be 50. Nice, huh? Yeah. Thank you very kindly, Steve. Thank you very kindly indeed. So, yeah, a little break. We'll be back. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
She's so close now. This girl is mine.
That seemed to fit. 10 minutes past the hour, 50 minutes remaining in this Thorn in the Side Thursday edition of the Horn for the 20th day of August 2015. And I'm eagerly watching my Facebook page now as I'm expecting a picture of the Ballerina Swan Lake Trailer Park, Mobile Home Country Club and Trailer Park as quickly as Carol Baker can get it posted. By the way, this being Thorn in the Side Thursday, some thorns are thornier than others and have the opportunity, the possibility of running a lot more deeply in a subcutaneous fashion and yielding up blood. By that, I mean, oh, I'm there. Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home Country Club. Office and resale. Yes, indeed. God, I can almost feel the coconut, hollowed out coconut shell beverage with the umbrella in it in my hand and hear the merry tinkling of the water splashing around the cement pond. Yeah. Letting go now. Letting everything go. At the Ballerina Swan Lake Mobile Home and Country Club. Yeah. While we've been talking about duggery, in the latest round of duggery, someone asked on Twitter, how many bakeries will refuse him a cake? Stand up for official marriage. Interestingly, though, he is maintaining a sort of cheater's omerta, isn't he? Because nobody knows who he was doing the cheating with. Let's see. One person on Twitter said, just going to sit back with a bag of popcorn and watch this. And then this. This is just dandy. If Josh Duggar was gay and never molested children and never had an Ashley Madison account, his family would have disowned him immediately. Another individual. It's like Josh Duggar and Jared Fogle are in some sort of competition to see who can have the biggest public disgrace. Okay, gay Twitter. I want to know who's responsible for undermining the sanctity of Josh Duggar's perfect hetero marriage. Fess up. And some linguistic wag saying, the award for most incredible use of passive voice in 2015 is, I became unfaithful to my wife. Breaking, in an effort to keep Josh Duggar from having affairs, Jim, Bob, and Michelle request everyone lock your doors at night. Twitter can be bitches. But while we've been worrying about that, it might be worthwhile noting that all is not well in the world. The Koreans aren't getting along again some more. So it all starts out when a South Korean patrol, a couple of South Korean soldiers, stepped on a landmine planted by North Korea, which maimed them, of course. And so South Korea blew the dust off of a bunch of loudspeakers that they hadn't used in more than 10 years and began broadcasting you guys are a bunch of poopy heads messages. Propaganda messages, I don't know. Come on down, it's lovely here in the South, whatever. Across the border into North Korea. North Koreans didn't like that, so they fired a rocket, which landed harmlessly somewhere in the mountains. And so then, in response to the one rocket that North Korea launched, it was probably the one they could get to work, South Korean artillery units responded by lobbing dozens of shells into North Korea today. And North Korea then said they got on the military hotline and gave the South Korean government 48 hours to dismantle the loudspeakers, yeah, or risk facing further military action. The ultimatum period expires at 5 p.m. That would be 0800. Greenwich Mean Time, I think, on Saturday. There have been no casualties, no damage. But it's worth remembering that the North and the South continue to actually exist in a state of war. There was no peace treaty. There was just a decision to cease hostility. Let's see, the last time something like this happened was 2010. North Korea shelled the South Korean border island of Yeonpyeong. Two civilians were killed and two soldiers were killed. South Korea retaliated by shelling North Korean positions, triggering brief fears of a full-scale conflict. Mm-hmm. And apparently, the other thing that is pissing off the North Koreans is that the United States and South Korea are running some pretty massive military exercise. Which the North, being a paranoid state, doesn't cotton to. Now just remember, though, if that one lone miserable rocket that North Korea lobbed into South Korea, if that had come from Gaza, and the South Koreans were Israelis, there'd probably be 300 dead. There'd probably be 300 dead Palestinian babies by now. Apparently, some restraint is being shown over there. Kind of nerve-wracking, but there's some restraint. Oh, what else? Oh, you know how we're living in post-racial America, right? Here's another dispatch from post-racial America. Loretta Smith Lane lives in Bridgeton, New Jersey. She's black. And, oh, last month, she got a hankering for some wings. I love wings. We got good wings around here. Pies and Pines over at Fayetteville does a lovely. They soak them for eons in like buttermilk and sriracha, and then they fry them and then they grill them and oh, yummy! And they do a homemade creamy gorgonzola dressing to go with it on the side. Yum, yum. Well, apparently they're not so good at Danny's Pizza Pizzazz in New Jersey. The wings were fried hard. I hate overfried wings. It's just leathery. Nasty. So she got her overfried wings and looked at the receipt. Now, bear in mind, Danny Summeling of Danny's Pizza Pizzazz says he has no idea where the receipt came from. Because written on the receipt was an instruction to fry the wings, and this is a quote here, hard like a black dick. Mm-hmm. And Danny Summeling, I don't know where that came from. Sure wasn't. I don't know. That was my son. Yeah, Danny Summeling of Danny's Pizza Pizzazz has his son working as a manager at the pizzeria. And Danny Summeling said of his son's instruction, that's definitely not professional. And Loretta Smith Lane said, well, you know, that really doesn't sound much like an apology. The son needs to own up for what he did. Loretta Smith Lane said, he needs to realize what he's done. It's not acceptable, not to me, and I wouldn't want anyone to go through what I went through. that's just a little wing industry humor. I mean, that's... Right, because we all know that they're really hard. Right? A couple of notes rolling in. Tim from L.A. says, in regard to Josh Duggar, dude's horny, and same-sex marriage is destroying the sanctity of marriage. Now it turns out some curious. Interweb diggers have noted that his unique Ashley Madison email handle, Joe Smithson, NWA, Northwest Arkansas, that, well, he may have an OKCupid profile, too. Oh, dear. Aw, darn, it got disappeared. Account not found. That's okay. Gawker screen capped it. Is this Josh Duggar's OKCupid profile? My self-summary. just enjoying life. Just enjoying life here in D.C. Lived here just over a year here now. Lots of work, hitting the gym, finding good places to eat, and really needing to add some fun in somewhere, because apparently his wife Anna is not much fun. I'm an executive in the city, what I'm doing with my life. I develop strategies, meet people, crunch number around big tables, and occasionally get out of ivory towers to sleep. I'm really good at humor. First things people usually notice about me, I'm tall, dark, and LOL. Not a big TV watcher. Watch a few reality shows and classics. You should message me if you're adventurous and need to have someone just be there to listen to whatever's on your mind. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for women ages 19 to 35 near me for casual sex. Let's see, diet, mostly anything, smokes, no, drinks, not at all, drugs, never, religion, Christianity, education, graduated from university, job, politics, government, income, $100,000 to $150,000, status, single, type, strictly monogamous, speaks English. Mm-hmm. Might be him. Nice. Gotta love those family values. Well, apparently, I love it when I just get an email that reads, ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Isaac. I'm glad you enjoyed the New Jersey wing story. In regard to the temptress down there in that Kentucky high school, Robert in Australia says, well, it looks like it's time for compulsory school uniforms in the USA. I wore them for 13 years. At the end of the day, I think the whole point was just to get you used to wearing a tie and shiny shoes. I used to not be in favor of school uniforms. But I'm beginning to think, because if you're wearing, at least they can't accuse you of being, accuse your precious little daughter, who's completely appropriately dressed, of being some sort of harlot. Tempting of the boys. Jeez. Twenty-five minutes past the hour, and yes, the lines are open if you want to end the evening on in conversation. 304-574-8178. 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676. On Skype, the contact address is Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid. Okay. What else? What else? What else? Oh, hey, here's some more family values. You'll love this. This is Andrea Lafferty of the Traditional Values Coalition. And she recently went on a missionary trip to Bentonville, Arkansas. Sam. Because she's all worried about, once again, because apparently this is what matters in family values now. She's right worried about where people go potty. Yep. Because Bentonville, Arkansas, home of the Wally World, was considering proposed protections for LGBT employees. She told them in Bentonville, Andrea Lafferty did, that if they passed that ordinance that would protect people from being fired for being gay, that they would be, and this is a quote, doing the bidding
of the Obama administration. And nobody in Arkansas ever wants to be accused of being doing the bidding of that one in our White House. So then, Monday, she called the American Family Association radio show hosted by Sandy Rios, super genius. Well, because America and, you know, freedom.
You know, you mentioned the suicide, and I do want to talk about that for 2 seconds. Of course, that's a situation. People that are psychologically unhealthy and unstable, who need help, do often attempt their life, and it's very sad, and we need to help them, but not force this type of thing on our children.
You know, let's start with that for a second. Since you triggered that in my own mind, I want to make it clear, you know, when people are in sexual entanglements, whether they're homosexual or transgenderism, sexual confusion, you know, infidelities, addictions to pornography, they are troubled. And it is not the thing that we don't rush to do is to tell our addicted pornographic husbands or family members that it's okay, or those caught in adultery loving someone else that's not their spouse who are sneaking around.
Is she talking about the LGBT community, or is she talking about Josh Duggar?
Don't rush to say, hey, you know, it's okay, it's just the way you are. We don't do that, and it causes a lot of turmoil. And I think if there were, you know, some studies done on the suicide rate of people in turmoil like that, it would all be high, Andrea.
Well, there are studies. The federal government's funding a study of transgendered kids, but it's more to promote it. And to me, it's the ultimate act of child abuse to not try and really help your child through this and to become whole. But they are psychologically unhealthy. And now, here in Bentonville, they want to put psychologically unhealthy teachers in the classroom, and then come right back and add the students, putting students in gender identity in the plan.
Okay. Not really. Not okay. Did you know that the federal government is studying transgender kids in order to promote being transgendered as a child? I mean, because, you know, it's a choice. I didn't. And I didn't probably because, well, it's not true. There probably are studies being done to find out why it is that transgendered kids have to be tormented in this country. And the answer, of course, is because Jesus. So, I guess parents of transgender teens, according to this freak from the Traditional Values Coalition, when you find out you've got a trans kid and you don't give them a good sound thrashing in the name of Jesus, then by not beating them, you're actually abusing them. Well, you know what they say. Spare the 2x4 and spoil the trans kid. Oh, this real woman's a real live wire. She got all head up earlier in the year, and went to Fairfax County, Virginia, where she was trying to save that county. Here's her testimony. Yeah.
That is process. That has been profoundly flawed from the beginning, culminating in, I am sad to say, outright deceit by this advisory committee, this school board, and this administration. In 30 of the busiest days of the year, you presented us with a curriculum so extreme on gender and sexuality that it offended families and people of faith across the county. Your own directives on community engagement say that your desired outcome is that stakeholders feel a part of the solution. Is this a room full of satisfied stakeholders?
No.
By statute, the Committee on Family Life must demonstrate broad community representation. And yet, public comments show that over 90% of your community oppose this curriculum. The makeup of your committee was the exact opposite.
I don't know why this is buffering so hard, but we're going to have to leave it go at that. That's maddening. Suffice to say that Andrea Lafferty, who should probably be walking around with a giant butterfly net over her head, she said that this Virginia school district, Fairfax County, by updating its non-discrimination policy to include transgender people, well, she accused them of instituting a, get this, mandatory curriculum on oral and anal sex, bestiality, and Bill Clinton's sexual habits. Jesus, will that ever go away? So, apparently, and of course she was lying, because, well, Jesus. It's not a lie if you tell it for Jesus. So children have to learn about oral and anal sex, and, well, bestiality does mean never having to say you're sorry. But, and, well, I guess Bill is kind of a master. I mean, you study it. Oh, make it. You don't beat your little transgender kids. You're a child abuser. Oop. Lots of unhappiness with school systems, though. There's a little tiny county in almost level West Bicola, Virginia, Stan. It's one of the poorest counties in the state. Ain't got no coal. Got some gas. Not much else. Calhoun County. Named after, but in a fit of irony, people who named Calhoun County named their county seat Grantsville. It is home to, I don't know, they may be shutting down this summer. They may be shutting down by now. One of the last drive-in movie theaters in the state. A lot of fun to go to. But, that school system got it right. This isn't one of those stories about the girl being sent home for showing too much collarbone. No. April Stanley's precious little boy got sent home from the Calhoun County Middle High School. Well, he didn't get sent home. He's just told to turn his shirt inside out because he wore a Confederate flag shirt to school Tuesday. School officials told him to turn it inside out. And so, in an act of protest and displaying of his liberty, sit, and of course, Wolverines! Yeah. He wore him another Confederate flag devil's diaper t-shirt to school on Wednesday, yesterday. The school official said, listen, son, if you do that again, we're going to suspend you. Because it's not okay. And hasn't been for quite some time, like 20 freaking years, at that school to wear your Confederate flag paraphernalia. And Mama, April Stanley, is pissed. So we got two angry mamas. One in Kentucky because her daughter was slut shamed for showing too much collarbone. Mm-hmm. Which apparently made the principal feel all randy like. And April Stanley in Calhoun County, West Virginia, who is pissed off because her boy can't wear his Confederate flag clothing. And you're going to love, I mean, love, 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 love her argument. Because, see, there's a rainbow flag at the school with a peace symbol in the middle of it. And she wants that banned too. If we're going to ban the, if we're going to ban our heritage, not hate Confederate flags, we got to ban that too. Because there's also kids that are offended by the gay symbols and the gay flag. She complained. The administrative assistant, David Tackett, there at Calhoun County Middle High School, said, there have been some racial tensions occasionally with minority students at Calhoun Middle High School, and that was one of the justifications to continue having the ban on the Confederate flag emblems. He also added that there's no comparison between the Confederate flag and the Pride flag with the peace symbol in it, noting, there have not been any disruptions or any altercations over that poster. However, there have been cases of racial tension. So April Stanley's going to plan, and she's going to file her official appeal for a rule change taking down that Homer sectional flag. Precious little son Stanley, April's boy, she says that Confederate flag to him, it represents his history. He's not prejudiced at all. Of course not. Now, I think it would be appropriate any time one of these, what's the word Carol uses? Stumps. Says, it's his history, heritage. I think one should immediately inquire of them as to, okay, start explaining the heritage. Start explaining the history. If you get the history right, you may at least have an argument. You'll still be wrong, but you'll have an argument. And then the minute she says, well, the Civil War wasn't about slavery. It's about states' rights. You just go, eh. Go tell Cletus not to wear his Confederate flag T-shirt anymore. Let him wear it to the drive-in. Let him wear it to church. Not school. Oh, and by the way, another difference between the Confederate flag and the gay pride flag. Yeah, gay people never committed treason against the United States and started a war that cost some 600,000 lives. 300,000 of them Americans. And it's his history. Can she point to a great-great-great-great-great-great-granddaddy who was a member of the 4th Calhoun Volunteer Ranger Confederate Knight Rider? Idiots. Damned idiots. Sorry. Oh, and by the way, thank you. Thank you very kindly to Glenn. Glenn answered up $15 of Steve's $25 challenge. 10 more to go on that. So let's see. We were at 341.57. So now we're at 341.57. No, we're 331.57. 11 minus 5. 326.57. carry the 12. 326, 57. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Glenn. It is much appreciated. Well, it all kind of rolls downhill from here, doesn't it? Just a couple more things to wrap up the evening. This is something interesting I ran across earlier in the day. It actually, the story actually goes back to April the 9th of this year. But, and I didn't catch it back then, but it's worth discussing now. A report was issued by TrueCost. It was issued on behalf of the Economics of Ecosystems and Biodiversity Program, which in turn is sponsored by the United Nations Environmental Program. And what they did is they studied how much money the biggest industries on the planet make, and then they applied to them about 100 different types of environmental costs, which they boiled down to six categories: water use, land use, greenhouse gas emissions, waste pollution, land pollution, and water pollution. All of those things that are commonly referred to as externalities. Here's something fun. If you took the externalized costs that these industries foist off onto the population generally, and you made the industries pay those costs, guess what happened? None of the industries make a profit. How about that? Sometimes the environmental costs vastly outweighed revenue, meaning that these industries would be constantly losing money if they actually had been made to pay for the ecological damage and the strain they caused on the system. The report found, in terms of land and water use, almost no companies are actually paying a price remotely comparable to what they're actually taking away from the ecosystem. As a for instance, the report notes, Nestle pumps water out of the drought-ridden California without limits for an unannounced but extremely low price and turns around and sells the exact same water back to those affected by the resulting droughts for approximately $4 billion in profit per year. 91% of Amazon rainforest destruction is fueled by increased animal agriculture. This is the kind of stuff we've been talking about for quite a while. We learned this about the coal industry a few years ago when Dr. Michael Hendricks published a paper that showed for every dollar the coal industry brings to West Virginia, we pay five out. I mean, that's straight out of Catch-22. That's we buy eggs in Malta for 4 cents and sell them in Pianosa for 3 cents, and everybody makes a profit and everybody has a share. But probably the story that got under my skin the most, you'll see what I'm doing here in a minute, it's a Washington Post story, and it's a story about a journal article in the Annals of Internal Medicine that has been published this week. And the journal article details accounts from physicians who were present in operating rooms and the kind of stuff that surgeons talk about while they're going about their surgery. The article says that one physician describes in graphic detail What happened to two women when they were asleep in operating rooms? One doctor reportedly said, as he prepped a woman for a vaginal hysterectomy, "I bet she's enjoying this." And then an obstetrician who had just saved the life of a woman who was bleeding out after having a baby. Well, the obstetrician performed what is described as an obscene dance. The author, identified as a practicing physician affiliated with a medical school, originally submitted the narrative essay with his name, but the journal decided to publish it anonymously in order to protect any people who might be identified, most importantly, the patients. The piece was peer-reviewed. And the author learned about the incidents when he was teaching a medical humanities course and said, "Do any of you have someone to forgive from your clinical experience? Did anything ever happen that you need to forgive or perhaps still can't forgive?" And that's when a student by the name of David recounted the story of the physician making the lewd and nasty comments while cleansing and scrubbing the patient in preparation for the hysterectomy. The student said, "Man, I was just standing there trying to learn. The guy was a dirtball. It still pisses me off." And that's when the author said, "Well, then this happened," and told the story of the obscene dance. He also said that he was in his third year of medical school. He was on an OBGYN rotation, and he ended up laughing and joining in on the doctor's nasty dance until the anesthesiologist in the room yelled, "Knock it off!" There's a reason people get nervous about things like anesthesia, because there are too many of these cases. The Washington Post article begins with a link and a reference to a story earlier. Back in June, when an anesthesiologist got caught making truly nasty comments about his patient during a colonoscopy. The patient had pressed record on his phone because he wanted to make sure that he got the, you know, because you're kind of in that anesthesia haze and whatever, and he wanted to make sure that he got the comment, got the instructions, the aftercare instructions from his doctor. But then he went to play the recording, and that the entire time that the procedure was going on, they talk trash on it. While the patient was sedated on the table, the doc, the anesthesiologist said, "After 5 minutes of talking to you in pre-op, I wanted to punch you in the face and man you up a little bit." The anesthesiologist, by the way, was a woman. Then a medical assistant notes that the guy's got a rash, and the anesthesiologist says, "Don't touch it. You might get some syphilis on your arm or something. It's probably tuberculosis in the penis, so you'll be all right. One of the assistants, I guess a nurse, said that the man got a little queasy when he watched the needle going into his arm, and the anesthesiologist said, "Well, why are you looking then, retard?" A jury awarded the man $500,000 from the two doctors and their practices. Tiffany M. Ingram, age 42, anesthesiologist in question, could not be reached for comment. Here's your for-profit medical system. Hot damn. Yeah. And I remember, there was a William Hurt movie years and years and years ago in which he plays a doctor, a very callous, cynical doctor, who himself gets cancer and has to be treated for it. And it begins by showing him in the OR doing his job, and the stereo speakers are blaring, I think, Jimmy Buffett. I don't remember. And I remember Agnes and I having a minor disagreement over it, because I said, you know, that's really offensive. That's somebody's life on the table there. And you'd kind of like to hope that that the doc's actually focused on the job. And Agnes's position was, well, he is, and I want him to listen to whatever music he wants so that he'll be more at ease. Okay. But this? And by the way, according to the article, the account given is really graphic. You can go to annals.org, annals.org, look up our family secrets. The other story that's in there, of the woman bleeding out after a birth, the patient had a Hispanic name, Lopez. It was horrifying. She was dying. The doctor saved her. And then when the uterus contracted and hardened, he says something like, "Atta girl, that's what I like, nice tight uterus." And the bleeding stops. The guy saved her life. I was blown away. But then the young doctor recounted, "But then something happened that I'll never forget. Dr. Candy raises his right hand into the air. He starts to sing La Cucaracha. He sings la cucaracha, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It looks like he's dancing with her. He stomps his feet, twists his body, and waves his right arm above his head. All the while, he holds her, his whole hand still inside her vagina. He starts laughing. He keeps dancing, and then he looks at me. I began to sway to his beat. My feet shuffle. I hum and laugh along with him. Moments later, the anesthesiologist yells, "Knock it off, assholes!" And we stop. Wonder if he charges extra for the dancing. Assholes indeed. Jack, yeah, you've got it in Shreveport. He says, I guess that's why right-wingers want tort reform, so people can't bring cases like you described, you know, in addition to malpractice. Asses spelled with dollar signs. Oh, yeah, okay, thank you, Carol. The film with William Hurt was called The Doctor. I remember. So it's time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody, for joining in. Like I said, I'm sorry about last night. We'll be here tomorrow for Friday on the Front Porch. I hope you'll be here, too. Join in on the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. Mm-hmm. Thank you for helping us knock out some of the fundraising hole. What did I say? 326.57? Yeah. 326.57. Tomorrow it'll be 526.57. And the equipment fundraiser stands between $800 and $1,300. Have a wonderful evening. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thanks for the note this evening, Gene. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Hope you're enjoying your vacation. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACAC, ACHEACT.org. And always, 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 Gina. No, that's the wrong damn button. Try this again. Gina, it's all for you.